All right, get ready, because today we're going deep on a case that's like the granddaddy of influencer marketing law, even though back then YouTube wasn't even a thing.
Right.
Just imagine getting sued just because you mentioned some brand in your latest video. Crazy, right?
Yeah, it does sound kind of wild when you put it like that.
Doesn't it?
But it really shows you just how important it is to, you know, understand those legal lines you got to color inside when using trademarks.
Yeah.
Especially these days when everyone's online talking about brands and sponsorships left and right.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where this whole nominative fair use thing comes in.
Right.
It's this legal defense that can protect you from those trademark infringement claims.
Uh-huh.
In this case we're looking at today, New Kids on the Block v. News America Publishing, Inc.
Yeah.
It basically set the stage for how we think about this stuff.
It's a really interesting one for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows how courts try to balance things out. You know, the rights of the trademark holders and the public's right to just talk about brands and products.
So let's paint a picture here. It's the 90s. New Kids on the Block are like peak boy band.
Oh, yeah.
Their faces are everywhere.
Lunchboxes, bed sheets, you name it.
Totally, and of course.
Go on.
Well, they've trademarked their name. Got to protect that brand. Smart move.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But then two newspapers come along.
Oh.
USA Today and The Star.
All right.
They decide to run these polls, you know, asking fans to call in and vote for their favorite new kid.
Hmm.
On the surface, harmless, right?
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit of free publicity.
You'd think so, right?
Mm.
But those calls, they weren't exactly free.
Oh.
USA Today was using a 900 number.
Okay.
And while the money was going to charity, The Star, well, they decided to go the for-profit route.
So charging fans for each vote.
And that's when the trademark lawyers enter the scene.
Cue the dramatic music.
Right. Smelling that infringement, and bam, they hit the newspapers with the lawsuit.
And here's where it gets interesting, right? The New Kids, all their catchy tunes and screaming fans, they lost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Both the district court and the Ninth Circuit, they sided with the newspapers, citing this nominative fair use idea.
So break it down for us. What is nominative fair use?
Okay.
Like in plain English.
Plain English. So it basically means you can use someone else's trademark without their permission.
Okay.
But there are conditions. You have to meet certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ninth Circuit, in this case, they laid out a three-pronged test to figure out if it applies or not.
Okay, three prongs sounds like a legal recipe to avoid a lawsuit.
You could say that.
Lay it on us. What's the first ingredient?
First ingredient, you got to ask yourself, can you identify this product or service without using the trademark?
Okay.
So in this case, could the newspapers have even run those polls without saying New Kids on the Block?
Probably not.
Probably not, right? Everyone knew who Jordan or Donnie was back then. It was like peak New Kids mania.
Right. You can't have a who's your favorite heartthrob poll without names.
Exactly.
Okay. So what's the next ingredient in this legal recipe?
All right. Ingredient number two. Keep it simple. Are you using just the necessary parts of the trademark?
Hmm.
Did the newspapers go crazy with New Kids logos everywhere?
I don't know. Did they?
No, they didn't. They just used the band's name, which, you know, was essential.
Right. And tell people what the poll was even about.
Exactly.
Okay. Two down, one to go.
Mm, all right. Almost there.
What's that final test for this nominative fair use defense?
This one's crucial. Does it look like the trademark holder is sponsoring or endorsing this use?
Hmm. I see.
So in our case, the newspapers presented the polls as news, not like the New Kids were saying, this is our official vote, everyone.
Okay.
And in fact, USA Today even gave the profits to charity, which, you know,
definitely helped their case.
Definitely helped.
So even though The Star was making money from the poll,
yeah,
that didn't automatically mean they were like exploiting the band's trade.
Right. The court recognized that gathering news, that's protected speech.
Uh-huh.
Even if you're making money from it.
Right.
You can report on things, even products and brands, without needing permission every time you mention them.
Okay.
That's a big takeaway here. Profit doesn't equal infringement. Automatically, at least.
This whole case really shows how trademark law and free speech, they kind of bump into each other.
Yeah.
It's like if we had to get permission every time we mentioned a brand,
man,
it would be impossible, especially for creators like us.
Yeah, just imagine news outlets couldn't report on a product recall without permission from the company.
Yeah.
Or movie reviewers couldn't even mention the movie titles without the studios.
Okay. Yeah, that would be wild.
Wow.
Wild. Okay, so this all makes sense for newspapers and reporting and all that.
Right.
But what about for someone like me, you know, a YouTuber?
Sure.
Let's say I'm reviewing a product. Can I even say the brand name without getting slapped with a lawsuit?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it's one a lot of your listeners are probably wondering about too.
Probably.
Good news is, if you're reviewing something, mm-hmm. you're generally good to go mentioning the brand name, especially if you're following these guidelines we've been talking about.
Okay.
You're giving your own opinion, not saying you're speaking for the brand itself.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
Good.
But what if I'm, let's say, an affiliate for that brand? Does that change things? Because then I'm getting paid if people buy through my link.
That does make things a bit trickier.
Right.
It kind of blurs the lines being an affiliate, because now you have this closer relationship with the brand.
Yeah.
You're not just a neutral reviewer anymore.
Right.
There's an incentive to promote the product.
So being upfront about that is super important.
Transparency is key, absolutely.
Yeah.
It lets your viewers know that, hey, you might have a little bias here.
Right.
And honestly, it's just good practice to be open with your audience anyway.
Definitely. Builds trust, all that. Okay, one more scenario.
All right, hit me.
What if the review is negative?
Okay.
Can I still use the brand name if I'm, you know, really going in on their product?
You absolutely have the right to give your honest opinion, even if it's not pretty.
Okay.
Nominative fair use should protect you there, as long as you're being truthful, not making stuff up.
Right. So I can say, this product is terrible.
Exactly.
But I can't say, like, this product is terrible because it's made with unicorn tears.
Right, unless you can prove that.
Unless I have proof.
Which I'm guessing you don't.
Probably not.
Probably not. But yeah, it's all about honesty, not trying to damage a brand with lies.
It's pretty wild how this case from the 90s, it still matters so much for creators today.
It really shows the power of precedent, how the legal world adapts to new ways of doing things, new media.
Yeah, it's like they saw the future of the internet.
Maybe it is.
Now, let's play devil's advocate for a sec.
Okay, I like it.
What if those newspapers had used the New Kids logo in their polls?
Interesting.
Would things have turned out differently, you think?
You know, using the logo, that might have been a bit too much.
Yeah.
It might have looked like endorsement, especially if it was right there with the voting options.
Yeah.
Remember that second prong of the test? Only use what's necessary to identify the brand.
So going overboard with logos, that crosses the line.
It could, yeah. It's like the difference between just mentioning a brand and then making merch that copies their logo and style.
So context is everything.
Context is everything.
This nominative fair use thing, it's like walking a tightrope.
I know, right? It's not like there's a checklist to guarantee you're safe from a lawsuit.
Exactly.
It's not a free pass, and there's always room for interpretation.
Right.
But understanding the basics, that can at least help you make better decisions and avoid those legal landmines.
So when in doubt, talk to a lawyer.
That's always a good idea, especially when it comes to protecting your own brand, your own work.
But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
yes,
I want to highlight one key takeaway. This New Kids case, it's more than just some 90s legal drama.
It is.
It set a precedent that affects all of us today.
Mm-hmm.
There are limits to trademark rights, and we got to understand those limits to protect free speech.
Yes.
And can make sure we can talk about products and services openly without fear.
Well said.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's even more important today with the internet and influencer culture and everything.
Definitely. The lines are blurring. News, commentary, marketing, it's all mixed up.
Yeah.
Makes it even more important to know how this nominative fair use thing works.
So, dear listener, here's a question for you to think about. Do you think the court made the right call in this case?
Good question.
Was it fair to side with the newspapers, even though one of them was profiting?
Yeah.
And what about the implications for online reviews, social media, all that?
Lots to think about.
We'll be exploring those ideas more when we come back for part two of our deep dive.
Looking forward to it.
Back again for more deep dive fun. And this whole New Kids case has got me thinking about brands.
Yeah.
It's like just saying the name of a brand can bring up all these images and feelings, even memories.
It really is. Brands have become like woven into our culture.
Yeah.
They're more than just products or services. They tap into emotion, aspirations, even your sense of identity.
Yeah. And that's got to be why trademark law even exists, right? It's not just protecting a company's logo.
Right.
It's protecting consumers from being misled or confused.
Absolutely. At its heart, trademark law is about protecting the consumer.
Okay.
It's making sure that when you see a trademark, you know exactly who's behind it.
So where does nominative fair use fit in with all of this?
Good question.
If trademark law is about avoiding confusion,
right,
how can you use someone else's trademark without misleading people.
Well, that's where those three prongs of the nominative fair use test come in.
Right.
Remember that first prong. Can you even identify the thing without using the trademark?
Oh.
If you can't talk about it without saying the brand name, then chances are you're not creating confusion.
Like in the New Kids case.
Exactly.
You couldn't have that poll without using their names.
Nope.
You just have like vague descriptions.
The one with the floppy hair.
Exactly. Or the one who wears sunglasses inside.
Right. Exactly. And that second prong, using only what's necessary.
Yeah.
That supports the same idea.
Okay.
You're not trying to like take their whole brand identity.
Right.
Just the minimum to accurately refer to the thing.
Okay. So the first two prongs are about like minimizing confusion.
Right.
But what about that third prong? Avoiding the suggestion of sponsorship or endorsement.
Yeah.
How does that protect consumers?
That third prong is all about preventing false associations.
Okay.
Consumers might see a brand name used in a certain way and think, oh, the brand is officially involved. Even if that's not true at all.
Like if I put a big Nike swoosh on my video.
Exactly.
People might think they're sponsoring me.
Right. Even if you're just giving your own review.
Yeah.
And that kind of false association, that can mislead people.
Yeah.
It can influence their buying decisions based on, you know, inaccurate info.
So being careful with how you use trademarks is important.
Super important.
Even if you think you're covered by nominative fair use.
Absolutely. Context is everything.
Yeah.
Using a trademark in a way that keeps your work separate from the brand, that's crucial.
Right. So if I'm reviewing a product, I'm giving my own opinion.
Exactly.
Even if I say the brand name, I'm not claiming to be like their official spokesperson.
Right. But going back to that affiliate marketing example, what about when you're not just reviewing, but you're getting paid to promote?
That's where things get tricky.
Yeah. How can you be objective when you've got that financial incentive?
Exactly.
That's why transparency is so important in those situations. Yeah. If you're an affiliate, you got to disclose that up front.
Right. Let the viewers know.
Let them know, hey, I might be a little biased here.
And honestly, being transparent with your audience is always a good move.
Always builds trust, credibility, the whole package.
So we've talked about reviews and affiliate marketing. But what about other situations where you might need to use a brand name?
Like what?
Like, what if you're a news channel reporting on a company that's doing shady stuff?
Interesting.
Can you even mention their name without getting sued?
That's a really good question, and it shows why nominative fair use is so important for free speech.
Yeah.
Journalists need to be able to report on companies, good or bad, without worrying about trademark infringement every 2 seconds.
So even if the news is negative.
Yeah.
It can still be nominative fair use.
In most cases, yeah.
Okay.
As long as the reporting is accurate and fair.
Right.
And there's no implication that the brand is like, yeah, we endorse this negative coverage.
Okay.
Then nominative fair use should apply.
So it's not about protecting companies from criticism.
Right.
It's about making sure the trademark isn't creating a false impression.
Exactly. The goal is balance, protecting trademarks, but also allowing open discussion and critique.
This whole conversation has been really interesting.
Yeah.
You don't realize how much thought goes into just saying a brand name.
I know, right? It's like a whole hidden world.
Until you dig into the legal stuff.
Exactly. Trademarks are everywhere. We take them for granted.
Yeah.
But understanding the rules, that helps us navigate all this complexity.
And for creators like us, knowing the boundaries is crucial.
Crucial. Got to protect yourself and your work.
Which brings up another question. What happens when those boundaries get blurry?
Good point.
What if a brand thinks you're misusing their trademark?
Yeah.
Even if it technically fits the nominative fair use rules.
Right. It's not a foolproof shield. There are definitely situations where it gets challenged.
So even if you think you're following the rules, things can still get messy.
Yeah. Remember, nominative fair use is a defense, not a guarantee.
Yeah.
And that three-prong test.
Yeah.
It's a framework.
Right.
But it's up to the courts to interpret it.
So there's room for debate.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There must be cases where courts sided with the brand.
Absolutely.
Even if it seemed like nominative fair use.
There are, and there's one case that shows this really well.
Okay.
Toyota Motor Sales, USA, Inc. v. Tabari.
Okay.
Went all the way to the Ninth Circuit in 2010.
Wait, the same court as the New Kids case?
The same one.
And they sided with Toyota?
They did. It's a really interesting case.
What happened?
So the defendants, they had this website.
Okay.
And the domain name was buy-lexus.com.
Lexus. That's Toyota, right?
Yep. And Toyota, they weren't happy.
So they sued.
They sued. Trademark infringement.
And the website owners probably said, hey, nominative fair use.
Exactly. They were literally using the brand name to tell people where to buy a Lexus.
That seems pretty straightforward.
You'd think so, right? And the district court, they actually agreed with the website owners, said it met the three prongs. But then the Ninth Circuit stepped in.
Said, hold up.
Yeah, they overturned the decision.
Wow.
Said that even though it was technically nominative, it was likely to confuse consumers.
But how? If you go to buy-a-knack-lexus.com.
Right? Seems obvious.
You think it's about buying a Lexus.
Here's the thing. The website wasn't actually connected to Toyota at all.
Yeah.
It was run by an independent dealership that sold all sorts of brands, Lexus included.
So even though the domain name was accurate,
yeah,
it could trick people into thinking they were dealing with, like, an official Lexus dealer?
Exactly. That potential for confusion, that's what swayed the Ninth Circuit.
Wow, that's a really fine line.
It is.
It seems like even if you're following the nominative fair use rules, you can still get in trouble if there's even a tiny chance of confusion.
That's the big takeaway here. It's not just about checking off those three prongs.
Right.
You got to look at the whole picture, the context,
yeah,
and ask yourself, could this mislead people?
It's like you're balancing your right to free speech
with
the brand's right to protect their image.
Exactly. And sometimes those rights clash.
And that's why we have courts.
Right. To make the tough calls.
This whole discussion has really shown how complicated trademark law can be.
It is. It's not just about avoiding other people's trademarks completely.
Yeah.
There are legitimate reasons to use a brand name.
Right.
And nominative fair use gives us a way to do that responsibly.
But it's constantly evolving too, right? With technology and new media and all that.
Absolutely. Think about social media. Everyone's tagging brands, mentioning products.
It's a whole new world for trademark law.
It really is.
It's wild to think that a case about a 90s boy band.
I know, right?
Is shaping how we talk about brands online today.
It shows how the law adapts to new ways of communicating, new forms of expression.
And for us creators, staying informed about these legal things is so important.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting your work.
So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
But there's more to explore.
Always more.
In the final part of our deep dive, we'll look at the limitations of nominative fair use and how courts have dealt with those tricky situations.
Stay tuned, folks. It's going to be a wild ride.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into nominative fair use. We've been talking about how it protects creators and respects trademark rights. But like with most things legal, there are always those gray areas, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Nominative fair use isn't some magic wand that makes you invincible.
Right.
Even if you're ticking all those boxes on the three-prong test, you could still end up facing a legal challenge.
So it's not as easy as just following the steps and assuming everything's fine.
It would be nice if it were that simple.
Right.
But unfortunately, no nominative fair use is a defense. It's not a guarantee.
Okay.
And that three-prong test, it gives us a framework.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's up to the courts to interpret it and apply it to each case.
Which means there's always room for different opinions and arguments.
For sure. There are definitely cases where courts have sided with the trademark holder.
Really?
Yeah. Even when the use seemed like it fit nominative fair use.
Oh, yeah. So there are exceptions.
There are. And one case that highlights this is Toyota Motor Sales USA Inc. v. Tabari.
Toyota. Okay.
This one went all the way to the Ninth Circuit in 2010.
Wait a minute. The same court that ruled in favor of the newspapers in the New Kids case.
The very same.
And now they're siding with Toyota. What happened there?
Well, in this case, the defendants were running a website with the domain name buy-lexus.com.
Okay, Lexus. That's a Toyota brand, right?
Yep. And Toyota wasn't too thrilled about it.
So I'm guessing they sued for trademark infringement.
You guessed it.
And I bet the website owners argued nominative fair use.
Exactly. I mean, they were using the brand name to literally tell people where they could buy a Lexus.
Makes sense to me. Seems pretty straightforward.
You'd think so. And initially, the district court agreed with them.
Really?
Yeah. They said the website's use met the three prongs of nominative fair use.
So they were in the clear.
They thought so, but then the Ninth Circuit took a look at the case.
Oh.
And they weren't so convinced.
So they overturned the lower court's decision.
They did. They said that even though the use was technically nominative, it was likely to confuse consumers.
But how? If you go to a website called buy-alexis.com.
Right. It seems pretty obvious what it's about.
You'd assume it's for buying a Lexus.
Yeah, but here's the catch. The website wasn't actually affiliated with Toyota in any way.
What?
Nope. It was run by an independent car dealership that sold various brands, including Lexus.
So even though the domain name was accurate.
Uh-huh. It could still mislead people into thinking they were dealing directly with an authorized Lexus dealer.
I see. So the potential for confusion was enough to tip the scales in favor of Toyota.
Exactly. That's what the Ninth Circuit focused on.
Wow. That's a really subtle distinction, it seems like. Even if you're following the rules of nominative fair use,
yeah,
you can still get in trouble if your use creates even a slight chance of confusing people.
That's a really important point. It's not enough to just mechanically check off those three prongs. You have to look at the big picture, the context, and ask yourself, could this mislead consumers?
So it's a balancing act, weighing your right to free speech against the brand's right to protect their trademark and make sure people aren't being tricked.
Exactly. And sometimes those rights can conflict.
And that's where the courts come in.
They have to make those tough decisions.
This whole conversation has been eye-opening. Trademark law is a lot more complicated than I thought.
It definitely has its nuances.
It's not as simple as just avoiding using other people's trademarks entirely.
Nope. Sometimes you need to use a brand name. And nominative fair use gives you a framework for doing it the right way.
And it's a framework that keeps evolving, right? Especially
yeah.
with technology and new forms of media popping up all the time.
Absolutely. Just think about social media. People are constantly tagging brands and talking about products.
Yeah, it's a whole new world for trademark law.
It really is. A wild west out there.
It's amazing to think that a case about a 90s boy band is shaping how we discuss brands online today.
It is. It shows how the law adapts to keep up with new ways of communicating and expressing ourselves.
And for anyone creating content online, staying informed about these legal concepts is crucial.
Couldn't agree more. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to protecting yourself and your work.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with this. Nominative fair use is a powerful tool that allows us to talk about brands and products without being afraid of getting sued every time we mention a trademark name.
It is.
But it's also a tool that should be used carefully and ethically, understanding both our own rights and the rights of trademark holders.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
And that's a wrap on our exploration of nominative fair use. Thanks for listening, everyone.